Joining us now on the show, always good to get him on. He's always very gracious to come on here and talk to this audience. State Senator Andrew Jones from up in Cherokee County joins us. Senator, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great, Jeff. Good to be with you. You doing all right?
Doing well. Before we get into the business of the legislature, last time we talked about this rendering plant, this Pilgrim Pride rendering plant that a lot of the locals were opposed to. What's the update on that?
Well, there've been a lot of things going on. I have a piece of legislation that's pending in the Senate. It's a local bill that will discourage this type of facility from locating within 3 miles of the city limits in Etowah. The Senate hasn't taken up any local legislation as of yet. So as soon as we do that, I'm looking forward to getting that bill moving. We continue to fight it on all levels. There are legal challenges going on. People are still protesting at city council meetings. It just really is a baffling situation, as we talked about last time, why anybody would put this next to an airport across from the largest employer in the county, near a mega church that's being built, near schools and daycares. So we just continue to keep up the fight, and I'm confident that they're going to decide to locate elsewhere sooner or later. But, you know, we've got a city council in Gadsden who's kind of just dug in their heels and just kind of spurned their, you know, their nose at the public, so to speak. And that's really what's kept this thing from being killed as of yet. I think just stubbornness and unwillingness to admit that they were wrong, and they're just trying to drag it out and save face, it looks like at this point.
It's a fascinating story. So, but keep us updated on that. A senator, 2 weeks into the 2021 session, here we are. It looks like things moved at the, the anticipated or planned pace. You got the three big bills with economic development, taxation, and liability protection, right, taken care of out of the gate. How do you think it's going there this early stage?
Well, it's moving quickly. You know, it kind of reminds me of our, you know, I think some of the other freshmen will agree, our first foray into the legislative process in the Senate. You know, those first couple of weeks, things were moving at lightning speed to, you know, new quadrennium. It was a very similar feel this time around, just because we had priority bills and we were having three-day weeks, you know, which is most of your listeners will know is a rare occurrence. Usually we work Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I say work. We work all 3 days, but Wednesday is a committee day, and it's from morning to late afternoon, usually with committees. And so we did all that, and then we went onto the floor at 4 p.m. To debate bills and discuss. So we really, really worked hard, and I think that's what we needed to do. You know, the people of Alabama are working. They're going to their occupations. You know, they've been, you know, back at work amid the pandemic, and it's only fair that the legislature should do the same. And I was, like many, very disappointed, you know, in how last year got cut short and not a lot was able to get done. And I really think we got to make up for it this year. And so I was pleased to see that we were working and things are moving quickly. And we're just getting it done.
Yeah, you probably are going to have to hustle this year because of that fourth year of a quadrennium, typically not much gets done. You pass the budgets, maybe some other smaller bills get through, but none of the big stuff, or, you know, whatever you consider to be big stuff, but sometimes it's controversial that the legislature typically doesn't want to deal with it. They want to get back to reelection campaigns and things of that sort.
Yeah, you know, and I think we had been thinking through that. And, you know, you have a kind of a bust year in year two, and you know, some of these folks were talking about, you know, they were not in the Senate, but I think a few of the older members had been talking about, you know, let's pass the budgets and some local bills and the recovery stuff and, you know, kind of the bare minimum and let's head to the House. And I mean, no, we cannot do that because, you know, year four is going to be a light year. Year two was a very light year. I mean, well, we've got to get some work done. And I think most of my colleagues share that perception as well. And we're ready to get to work and get it done.
Yeah, so speaking of going, getting to work, the big thing that seems to be the discussion right now, at least as far as the Senate goes, looking at Senator Marsh's comprehensive gambling legislation, I know we're at the very early stages, a lot of it could change. What's your initial reaction to his proposal?
Well, it is a very thoughtful bill, in my opinion. I actually said that in committee and made the motion to get it out of committee. I think, you know, it's been a challenge anytime you deal with a lottery or gaming. And, you know, so there are a lot of folks who say we should just deal with just a lottery by itself. That's impossible for several reasons, because, you know, you have to have 2/3 vote to get this thing out of both houses. And there are people who want to kind of codify into law the gray area gaming that's going on, electronic bingo and stuff. And then you have the other gaming interests. And we were never going to be able to get to a 2/3 vote without dealing with everything. And so Senator Marsh has put together a proposal that deals with the big picture. And it's also very thoughtful in where the money is divvied up. I think it addresses the major needs that we have in this state and does it in a way where everybody can have a piece of the pie, so to speak, and, you know, brought all the gaming and lottery interests to the table. So I think it's a very thoughtful bill, and look forward to getting that bill or some version of that bill out and let the public vote on it, which is what I committed to do from the start. Let the people vote. And, you know, all of our neighboring states have some sort of lottery. And, you know, I live right here five minutes from the Georgia line, and I know more than anybody else how many people come up across through here to buy a lottery ticket and spend their money in Georgia. So, you know, let people vote. And I think this is as good a proposal as any. And I think it's going to get even better as, you know, members talk with Dale and, you know, give him advice on things that can be shored up or improved in the bill. And, I'm very excited about the prospects.
Are you generally pleased with the, I guess, the framework with where the gambling revenue, where the taxes and all of that would go, a lot of that to the ETF, I think maybe some of it to the general fund, but a lot of it's done in the name of education?
Well, you know, we do have to address a shortage of different, you know, types of employee or a workforce shortage in certain areas. In the state. And I think, you know, using the lottery money to give scholarships to address those workforce needs in the state is a very, very savvy idea. That's been something that, you know, this governor has been very passionate about, and the lieutenant governor working on workforce development and getting, you know, those additional 500,000 trained workers by 2025. So if you can take that revenue and use it to meet those needs, whether, you know, math and science teacher shortages, for example, or shortages in the, you know, the medical field or other pressing needs around the state, I think that's a good use of the resources. I want to see a little more details about all that. I think a lot of that will be in the enabling legislation after the constitutional amendment part is passed. But I think it's a fair use. You know, a lot of us just were not keen on the idea of just giving scholarships and sending people, you know, who could afford to get through college, you know, sending them there and just the state paying just kind of at random for a degree that's not going to help benefit the state. And so if we can think about what those long-term needs are and send the money to those things and also factor in some merit, you know, people that have the grades, but also have the need as well, and just make sure we use the money in a smart way. I think that's a fair proposal.
Well, one of the things that comes up and is becoming up the last few years, the idea of doing a piece of this with rural broadband. You know, your district relatively rural. Obviously, there's a Gadsden, which is a significant population center, but you get beyond that. Do you see this that component of it being something that could really help your district?
Oh yes, I mean immensely. I mean, I'm I'm sitting here in Cherokee County, and, you know, I tether with my phone for my internet because it's better than the speed I can get if I paid, you know, $80 or $100 a month or whatever it is for internet. That's going to be slower than what I can get by tethering my phone. So I know better than anybody how much we need it. And, you know, I've got the rural parts of DeKalb, as well as my district in Cherokee County. And there are actually parts of Etowah, believe it or not. Everybody thinks of Etowah as kind of metropolitan type area, but, you go over to Gallant, and that area, that neck of the woods and up in parts of Sardis, and you're going to be, struggling to get internet as well. So it's going to help things. And I think the pandemic, Jeff, as you know, has really brought that to light. I mean, work from home, telemedicine, you know, the people that had to, the school children who had to work and do their assignments from home or virtual classrooms, virtual learning. All that stuff, you know, is just going to increase in the future, pandemic or not. And we have to be prepared to meet those needs. And so we have to make sure that we're invested in broadband infrastructure. And also, you know, there are other things other than broadband that maybe we need to leave some leeway for in the future as well. That, you know, you look at Elon Musk and Starlink and all these satellites going around the earth that are going to provide internet to even the most remote places. You know, we need to think about things like that as well as we're moving forward. Technology will be evolving, and who knows, there may be something after broadband in the future as well. But we have to kind of be thinking through that and make sure we get everybody covered.
Joined by State Senator Andrew Jones here on the program. Let's move on to some other pressing issues of the state. Prison situation. I know we talked a little bit about this in the past. It looks like things are proceeding forward with Governor Ivey's plan. Does that seem to be okay with you? When you talk to a lot of these members, they acknowledge that the legislature has fallen short in the past, and maybe it's you got to just kind of look at the governor to take the reins here.
Well, you know, I come at it a little differently because I was part of a class of, you know, 30 some odd, maybe it may have been more than that, Jeff. I honestly don't know the number, but like 30% of the legislature turned over, and you had a new crop of people come in. And I think I would characterize our class, if I could use one word, would be pragmatic, you know, willing to solve problems. So I'm kind of disappointed that our group never got a chance to weigh in on that. And I think it's a concern when you're spending a lot of money to lease, and at the end of the lease, you don't own the facility. And so maybe there's another way to solve this problem, whether through a bond issue or something else. And I know there's a proposal in the House that's kind of making its way around, and people are having discussions about that. And I think if that were to make it out of the House and make it up to the Senate, it would have, there would be a lot of members who would be willing to give that consideration. So, you know, I think anytime you can save money and get more, I mean, it's no brainer. We just got to find the political will to do that. And I think, you know, give us a shot. That's what I would say to the governor. Give us a shot with this new class, new crop of people, new makeup in the legislature. And let us see if we can tackle this. And I think at the end of the day, you know, we still got the lease as a backup. Should we not be able to meet the mark? But I think it's incumbent upon us to try and save the money and get more out of it on the building at the end.
Right. We talk to your fellow freshman every week on this show, Chris Elliott from across the bay here, and he says the same thing that I guess his reasoning is, though, that it seemed as if the governor was calling a fair catch and that the proposal would come forward. And then here we are, but the proposal doesn't really involve the legislature, that you guys never really had the opportunity to put something out there. But you seem to think that maybe possibly this effort in the House to bond it out is that.
I think if they can get the votes in the House and get it out and get it up to us in the Senate, then I think we can handle it up there. I really do. You know, it's just, you're going to have to make sure we, you know, I mean, it is taking on debt. I mean, let's, you know, but either one way or the other, you're taking on debt, whether it's, you know, you're taking the bond or you're paying the lease. So at the end of the day, we've got to just be smart about this and sit down and weigh out all the factors. And there are multiple, you know, one of the downsides of if we do it ourselves, you know, I've heard that we, you know, obviously would have to go through the bid process and everything, and it may delay groundbreaking on a facility, right? How does that factor into the Department of Justice and, you know, the fact that they're not happy with our progress at the moment if things are slowed down by a few years? You know, there's a lot of different moving parts we've got to think through, but I think we can do it if we just put our minds to it.
Well, Senator, we do appreciate we're up against a break here, but stay safe up there, and let's talk again real soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. State Senator Andrew Jones from Cherokee County joining us.